Thank you for the introduction. So I'll be talking about urban, suburban, and rural disparities in vaccination rates. First of all, I'd like to disclose no personal financial relationships. I work for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, which is a not-for-profit entity. To give you some background, for those of you that might be curious why Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan would be interested in studying HPV vaccination rates, I work in the Physician Group Incentive Program, which rewards physician organizations for improving health care delivery practices in Michigan. And HPV vaccination was identified as a potential area of opportunity for an initiative focused on women's health. To give you some background in HPV vaccination, genital HPV is really prevalent, and some types cause cervical cancer and or genital warts. The vaccine is highly effective against the disease-causing types of HPV and was initially licensed in June 2006 and is recommended as a series of 3 doses for girls 11 through 12 years of age. But the rates of vaccination have been fairly slow to develop over time, and estimates from the National Immunization Survey have shown that for girls 13 through 17 in 2010, so 4 years after the vaccine was licensed, only 49% in Michigan had received at least one dose, and only 25% had completed the series. And that was a little lower than the U.S. average for completion. And they've found, this NIS survey has found substantial variation between states, but no one has looked at whether there are disparities between urban, suburban, and rural regions within states. So that's what our study looked at. So is HPV vaccination uptake associated with the rurality of the patient's residence? And is this association still present after we control for healthcare access, since we know those differ between rurality? Our study used a retrospective cohort design, and it looked at a population of adolescent girls, so aged 13 through 17 in 2010. It looked back at their healthcare history from June 2006, when the vaccine was licensed, through the middle of 2010. And we used only girls who were continuously or semi-continuously enrolled in Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan insurance during that time period, so we could have complete data. This study used 2 sources of data. One was Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan administrative claims data, and the other was community or county level variables collected by the Health Resources and Service Administration, or HRSA, area resource file, which they release every year. We looked at 2 different outcomes, and we modeled these in different models. We first looked at initiation of the vaccine series, so having received at least one dose, and then completion of the vaccine series, so finishing all 3 doses. And our exposure of interest was level of rurality, and we defined this kind of using 2 different methodologies. First, we defined counties as urban, suburban, or rural based on the size of their largest urbanized center. And then we further subdivided urban counties into 3 categories based on their total population size. And we controlled for markers of healthcare access, which included history of other adolescent vaccines. So this is tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis, and meningococcal vaccine. And we also, and that was at an individual level. We also controlled for ratio of population to number of doctors at the county level. And our statistical analysis used mixed effects logistic regression models with a random intercept for county, so letting each county have a different baseline rate of vaccination. And we used SAS PropClimix. So our results, this shows the trend in HPV prevalence rates over time in our population. So this uses a different population of girls 13 through 17 each month and shows their prevalence of initiating or completing the vaccine series. So there was kind of a pretty sharp increase between June 2006 and maybe somewhere in the middle of 2010, and then it sort of seems to have leveled off in the last year or so. And in June 2010, we found overall that our Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan girls, 13 through 17, 24% had received at least one dose in June 2010, and only 13% had received all 3 doses. And you might note that these are considerably lower than estimates from the NIS. So this shows HPV vaccination rates for the girls that were 13 through 17 in June 2010, so focusing just on that cohort, stratified by their demographic characteristics. You can see that the prevalence of vaccine initiation and completion increases with the age of these girls. They've just had more time to get it, and increases with the number of office visits that they had in the past 4 years, as well as whether they'd received other adolescent vaccines. So kind of if they're going to their doctor more frequently, if they're receiving other adolescent vaccines, they're more likely to get the HPV vaccine. Also, you can see in rurality of residents that it seems like highly populated urban and rural areas have lower vaccination rates, both for initiation and completion, than the other areas. So this map shows for Michigan the percent of girls who'd received at least one dose of the vaccine by county, and the background color shows the level of virality. And you can see that the one trend we noticed was that in the area that's the whitest, the highly populated urban area, it seems that there are lower vaccination rates. And for those of you unfamiliar with Michigan, that's Detroit and the surrounding area. And we saw very similar trends for receiving all three doses of the vaccine series. So it's a pretty similar map. So our multivariate model results, after controlling for indicators of healthcare access and including a random effect for county, we saw that highly populated urban areas, girls living in highly populated urban areas, were significantly less likely to both initiate and complete the vaccine series when compared to their suburban counterparts. And this was not true for the other urban areas or rural areas, which was maybe a little different from what we expected. So some of the limitations of this study, we only included shots that were billed to Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, so we did not have any data on whether a girl went to a free health clinic or if she had two types of insurance and she received the vaccine with another insurance company. However, for the free health clinics, the cost of the vaccine series is quite high. It's higher than all the other adolescent vaccines. It's around $400 for the series. So we find it kind of unlikely that a girl would go to a free health center and receive it and not reimburse Blue Cross for it. And also, some of the limitations of this study were that it might not be generalizable to uninsured. Of course, these were Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan insured patients. Uninsured, insured through a different payer, or non-Michigan residents may be quite different. Some of the strengths of this study is that we're the first to evaluate this effect of virality on HPV vaccination, controlling for healthcare access. And we stratified counties beyond just the normal urban rural, which reflects some of the heterogeneity. And we did see that rates were quite different for highly populated urban areas than they were for other urban areas and suburban areas. And we also did not rely on any self-reported information. All the data that we used was on HPV vaccination was collected through billing by a physician. Some of our conclusions, we found very low rates of HPV vaccination in our population of commercially insured patients. And these were around half of CDC estimates, as you had noticed from previous slides. We need to definitely investigate this further, but this may indicate some biases or misclassification in our data or in the NIS survey. The NIS survey is a random digit dial survey, and it has fairly low response rates, so it could indicate some biases in this survey. Also, I mean, in either case, whether you trust the estimates from the NIS or ours or whether those rates are somewhere in between definitely indicates that we need to focus vaccination prevention promotion programs, because these rates are either way quite low, especially for the vaccine having been around for 4 years already. And our study showed that there are disparities in HPV vaccination rates that extend beyond just access to healthcare. And suburban areas had the highest rates of vaccination, and girls living in highly populated urban areas were significantly less likely to get vaccinated. We didn't really look into what the causes were for this association, but it could be racial, ethnic, religious, education, SES, or other differences. Although in Michigan, highly populated urban areas are not the lowest income areas, so it isn't just related to income. And this study and other studies definitely show that programs should be targeted to promote vaccination in regions where they're most needed. And this includes areas with low vaccination rates, like how we saw in highly populated urban areas, as well as those with a high prevalence of HPV-related diseases like cervical cancer. That's all.
We have time for some questions, if there are any.
Yeah, so you asked about... Well, VFC covers, so it's Vaccines for Children program, it's a federal program. It covers vaccines for uninsured or underinsured. So we wouldn't, all the patients in our denominator wouldn't be covered under VFC. But we did think about that in terms of the National Immunization Survey. They capture all types of people, underinsured, uninsured. And we did think about that as maybe one of the potential reasons why we saw lower rates. Maybe people who are uninsured are more likely to get the vaccine because of VFC, but it's kind of doubtful, but it's a possible reason. That's a good question. Thanks.
Is there a mandate to get these
in? I don't think there's any...
Yeah,
the HPV vaccine's not required. It's just if somebody wants to get the vaccine. I don't know if there's, I think there is some movement towards trying to mandate it, but that's not something that.
Did you see what the doctors of the
That's a really good question, and that's actually one of the reasons why our physician group incentive program was thinking about this as an area of opportunity. We work with physician organizations, and then they talk to, we'll create like an incentive program to incentivize them to do some sort of best practice, and they'll work with their physicians to try to get it as top of the mind to work with their patients. And we haven't implemented anything about this yet, but we were kind of doing the preliminary background to maybe get to a program that does something like that eventually. So that's a really good question.
I
think you're making a really good point about HPV vaccination in general. Blue Cross, our program really only focuses on the physician end, but you make a really good point about parents' attitudes towards vaccination, which I think is a lot, like, talked about a lot in the literature right now. There definitely needs to be more programs surrounding educating parents about the importance of vaccinating their children. And Blue Cross does cover the vaccine for all girls that it's recommended for. And I think they had some sort of a voucher program in the beginning to try and incentivize people to start using it, but that's not really part of our department, but it's definitely a really good point. Oh, sorry. Yeah, the point is definitely that parents really need to be educated about how HPV can affect their daughter later in life. You may not be thinking about it at 11 or 12, but yeah, that's a really good point.
Great. One more question we have time for, and the speaker will be here after the session as well for further questions.
Or in fact. Yeah, that's definitely an opportunity in the future. I don't know if our department might be the forerunners in any of that because we're mostly on the physician end of things, but definitely something Blue Cross could do, partner with promotion programs.